Well, happy Sabbath day. Good afternoon. Glad to be here on this beautiful, beautiful day. Thank you, Jonathan. That was a great service. Yes. Thank you, Jehovah. Well, I'd like to begin today by reading 2 Chronicles 20, 1 through 30, if you'd like to follow along. I'll be reading from the ESV. 2 Chronicles 20, verses 1 through 30. This is the story of Jehoshaphat, for those that are familiar with this text. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Meunites came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they are in Hazar Tamar," that is, in Gedi. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid, and he set his face to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, "O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God of heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And they have lived in it, and have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save.' And now behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy, behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, the Levite, sons of Asaph, in the midst of our assembly. And he said, "Listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeuel, and you will not need to fight this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Israel, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you." Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the Kohathites and the Koranites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed." And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army, and say, "Give thanks to the Lord for his excellent, for his steadfast love endures forever." And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped destroy one another. When Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked toward the horde, and behold, there were dead bodies lying on the ground. None had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found among them in great numbers goods, clothing, and precious things, which they took for themselves until they could carry no more. There were 3 days in taking the spoil. It was so much. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Barak, for they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name that place has been called the Valley of Barak to this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat at their head, returning to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. They came to Jerusalem with harps and lyres and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord God came on all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave them rest all around. So a little bit about the context of this passage is Jehoshaphat was the fourth king of the separated kingdom of Judah around 850 to 875 BC. He was a zealous follower of the commandments of God. In his third year, he sent out certain princes, priests, Levites, to go throughout all the cities of Judah, teaching the people about the book of the law. Jehoshaphat sought the Lord with all his heart. Moab, Ammon, and the Munites came to make war against Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was afraid, and rightly so, for the army approaching was indeed a mighty one, beyond what he would be able. He was in trouble. Just as Jehoshaphat faced a literal battle, the Christian is, in a sense, in a battle with the world. And the world is at war with the Christian, with us. The world offers vices, self-fulfillment, and greed. The world wants to convert us to its way of life, to its ungodly devotion, to the unholy. And if we don't conform, if we don't bend a knee to its idols and sacrifices, we're ridiculed, mocked, and attacked. So the world is against us Christians. The evil one is at war with us. And in the battle, there are all sorts of struggles. On one side, we struggle against pride and lust, greed, boasting, and various wantings. On the outside, we struggle against illness and money issues, marriage problems, job difficulties, seemingly unsure future, and so much more. What do you do when you're faced with such monumental obstacles such as Jehoshaphat? How do you resist temptation and flee from evil? Or believe beyond your ability to understand how to address these problems in your lives? There's only one answer to these things, and it lies in trusting in God. Just as Jehoshaphat trusted in the Lord during his insurmountable circumstances, when you trust in God, there is no need to fear. You should trust in God and not fear because of who He is. Please look with me at verse 6 from the passage we read, 2 Chronicles 20. And he, Jehoshaphat, said, O Lord, the God of our fathers, art thou not the God in the heavens? Art thou not ruler over all the kingdoms and the nations? Power and might are in thy hand, so that no one can stand against thee. Jehovah is the God of our fathers, of Adam and Eve, of Noah, Abraham, Moses. Therefore, he is the God of history. He also lives in heaven. Therefore, he is the God of holiness. Heaven is the holy dwelling place of God. Therefore, he is above all things. He is pure, righteous, and incapable of sin. He is also the ruler of all nations, and therefore he is the God of sovereignty. All kings and peoples are his, and as such, he has the right to rule them as he pleases. He is all powerful. Therefore, he is the God of power. He can do as he wishes. He can create or destroy, rise up or tear down. I guess the question is, who is God to you? Is he big or is he small? Is he all powerful? And does he love you? How you perceive God affects how you will respond to him. The people of Judah knew who God is, and that is why they looked to him and trusted in him. In other words, we should trust God because he is holy. He is a king. He is all powerful. And because he loves us so very much. We should trust God and not fear, not only because of who he is, but also because of what he has already done and is doing in our lives. Please look with me at verse 7. Did thou not, O God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and give it to the descendants of Abraham, thy friend forever? God has already accomplished great things in this world. He gave the land of Canaan to the descendants of Abraham. God chose Abraham and promised him he would be a great nation. God raised up Moses and through many miracles delivered his people from the bondage of the Egyptians. He parted the Red Sea. He destroyed the Egyptians. God raised up Joshua and the Hebrew armies to take the land of Canaan. And there God planted them in the land that they might bear fruit as his chosen people, so they could worship him, honor him, serve him, and prepare the way of the Messiah. The Hebrew person could reach down and grab a handful of dirt and touch that promise that God gave them. It was that physical promise. Feel the reality of God's accomplishments through that nation. He could touch the promise of God. Because the Hebrews knew God and what he had already done for them, they sought him again. Look at what they did. They sought God in verse 12. O God, our God, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? We are powerless before this great multitude who is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on thee. They praised God. In verse 19, and the Levites from the sons of the Kohathites and of the sons of the Koranites stood up to praise God of Israel with a very loud voice. They put their trust in God. In verse 20, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, O Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in Jehovah our God, and you will be upheld. They gave thanks to God. In verse 21, and he said, give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. What do you do when you face trials and tribulations? Do you praise God? Do you trust in him and give thanks to him? I think that a Christian's true character is often reveals when he faces a real problem in his life. How do you handle these problems? Do you panic? Do you complain? Do you raise your fist in the air and shout at God? Do you begin to doubt? Or do you go to the Lord in prayer and humility and praise and trust and refuse to give fear and worry any place in your lives. I know if you're like me, sometimes it's the latter and not the former. Or what I mean to say is that the first thing that we do is we go to fear, but then when we realize really what it is that we fear, and our God is so much bigger, then we turn to Him. As you can see, God has already done great things for the Hebrew people. He has already done great things for you as well, and much, much more. He has delivered you from the enemy called sin by redeeming you through His Son. He sent His only begotten Son to die a horrible death to redeem you from the death that we rightly deserve due to our sin, and He gave us the free gift of eternal life. Judah was delivered from the threat of a mortal death. You have been delivered from the threat of eternal death. They were delivered from an enemy that sought to kill them. You've been delivered from an enemy that sought to have you damned. This battle that God fought for Judah so long ago was not only an attempt by Satan to destroy God's people then, but it was also an attempt to destroy you now. No messianic line, no Messiah, no salvation. Then we are lost too. So by fighting this battle, God has not only saved Judah from certain destruction then, but has also saved us as well. God has given us salvation. Will He do any less for you when you face the difficulties in your life now? Will He let you be destroyed? No. How do you handle sin and sickness and heartbreak and pain? Uncertainty. Do you trust in God or do you doubt? Hasn't He fed you and clothed you and warmed you? Hasn't He already showed you His faithfulness? Hasn't He freed you from our sin? God has not called you that He might forsake you, but that He might sanctify you, make you holy, and that you might enjoy a relationship with Him forever. Because He loves you, you were made in His image and His eternity. You should trust in the Lord and not fear, not only because of who He is and what He has done, but also of what He will do. The people of Judah did not know what would happen, but they trusted in the Lord. Please look at verse 15. It says, "Do not fear or be dismayed, for the battle is not yours, but God's." And in verse 17, "Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf." These were statements in future tense. They are God's words of promise to you as well. So the people rested, they feared not. And then in verse 30 it says, "So the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God gave him rest on all sides." In conclusion, I'd like to leave you with this thought. Is God any different now than in the days of Jehoshaphat? Are the words of his promise any less true? Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And in Matthew 28:20, "I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth." He promised that his words will not pass away in Mark 13:31. He said that he would raise you up on the last day in John 6:40. He said that whatever you ask in his name would be given to you in John 14. He said he would disclose himself to you. He said he would reveal the Father to you. Now these are all promises that he has made. And finally, He said he would return in the clouds so that every eye would see him. Mark 13. Because of who God is and what he has already done for you, you can trust him even more in the future and have no fear that he will continue to uphold you, love you, and work out his wonderful loving plan for your life. So trust in him. That's all I have. Jeff?
You march out as if you're going to battle,
right,
and you stand there, and the enemy's coming at you. And I marvel at those singers. It says they went ahead of the army. And so the people had to demonstrate faith by action.
Right.
They trusted in God, but he also said, then go out there and stand and watch what I'm going to do. Because they were going against this innumerable army. And they knew they didn't have the army to deal with it, but God made them march out to battle,
right,
to observe. So they were basically defenseless against this monster army. And I'm thinking that took a lot of faith to go out there singing and praising.
It did.
And it demonstrated their faith. So sure. I guess when I look at the corollary to us today, I think God says you need to have some skin in the game. You have to demonstrate to me that you're going to be faithful. And you're going to show up and you're going to do your part and watch me do my part. Because a
Absolutely.
Lot of times, if you're like me, I don't want to do my part. I just want God to take care of it. And that way I don't grow and I don't learn, because it's hard and it takes faith and it
Right.
takes trust. And so I appreciate everything you showed us in that story. But I just want to point out
Right.
the people had to do their part too. And I think we have to do our part too.
Oh, absolutely. We have to get into the game. I mean, even James points out that we show our faith by our works. And sometimes our works is just getting involved, stepping out on that faith. Jonathan?
Yeah, I just had one more thing to add to that. Three things, actually, that I saw. So I'm familiar with this story. So armies are on all sides. And then in verse 3, he says, alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. So as soon as they heard they were in bad shape, he's like, let's fast right now. Like the second they heard about it, he started fasting. And then just what I talked about before we sang in verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. And then in verse 21 it says, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, like Jeff said. And as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab, and so on. So they fasted, they fell down, like the example I was talking about, in worship, and then they also sang and praised him, I think with their hands high in the air. And that's what God did for them.
Right.
Not because they did that, because he already had promised to do it before, but that's just how they worshiped him.
Our response. You know, when you started out service and you did the worship and the music today and stuff, I was thinking about that passage of Scripture and what I was going to talk about, and how the two just really, I mean, the Spirit was really thick in that. So, amen. Amen.
And also you mentioned that he would return in the clouds. We know that. And, you know, recently there's been, like, lots of clouds. So instead of being depressed, just remember, hey, he's coming back, you know, and that'll
yeah.
bring it up a few
Amen.
Notches.
That's great. All right, I think we have another speaker here.